It's the Health and Wealth Show with David Ernest.
He's my little old Drevo.
And now, just to keep us out of jail, because we can't afford bail, here is the ever-popular legal disclaimer.
All matters discussed on the Health and Wealth Show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to their accuracy. All ideas and information presented by international heartthrob David Ernest should be discussed in detail with one of our highly qualified representatives prior to implementation. And that, my dears, is your legal disclaimer. By the way, have you called David Ernest? Call him right now at 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839. And don't forget David's website at retirewithernest.com. Call David Ernest today.
This is your roving reporter, and today I'm talking with a famous broadcaster.
Hey man, what's happening?
Now, I understand you radio people move a lot, is that correct?
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, how does this affect your taking care of your retirement money?
Oh man, I don't give that a second thought, because my buddy David Ernest, he's my money man.
Your money man?
With the money plan.
I see.
So, no matter where I go up and down the dial, David has my back, you know?
I'll bet you know some phone numbers our listeners could call to talk with David Ernest.
334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839.
And he has a website at retirewithernest.com.
Hey, you're on top of it today, man.
I also understand that you hold some sort of a record in broadcasting.
Yes. I was the first person to put together a show with myself, a duck, a chicken, and a goose. But it didn't last long. We got taken off the air.
Why were you taken off the air?
Too much foul language, man.
Oh, my.
So I wasn't crazy about that one myself.
And now from Hollywood.
She asked him why I'm a hairy guy. I'm hairy noon and night.
Nighty-night, night.
My hair is a fright. I'm hairy high and low, but don't ask me why,
'cause he don't know.
It's not for lack of bread, like the grateful dead.
Darling,
give me a head with hair, long, beautiful hair, shining, gleaming, streaming, flaxen, waxen. Give me down to there,
hair,
shoulder length longer,
hair,
here, baby, there, mama, everywhere, daddy, daddy,
hair,
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 hair. Grow it, show it.
See,
bye.
our super secret studio where our hair grows down to there, David Ernest brings you The Health and Wealth Show. Call David at 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839. Leave your name and number and your call will be promptly and courteously returned by Too Tall Matthew, who has a nice head of hair, Princess Leah, who says it just won't do if you're do don't do, or the white-haired wonder himself, who has every hair in place, so you don't pull yours out worrying about your portfolio. Now, please welcome old cotton top himself. It's David Ernest.
Excuse me, why I kiss this guy.
Welcome to the Health and Wealth Show. And just a moment ago, I was thinking we're just a hair's breadth away from starting a show. And David, aren't we talking about hair today? Or
Yeah, but it's a different kind of hair.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a hairy situation.
That kind of hair, like things are getting crazy and nutty, but you call it hairy. I get it.
Yeah, scary hairy, whatever. It's not growing on our legs. It's growing everywhere.
I got hairy legs.
We need a leader that thinks more than about it being hairy on his legs and shaving it off. He needs to be thinking about how hairy it is out there. They got all kinds of things about hair. That's pretty hairy.
Scary and hairy.
So it is hairy out there. And if you want to say that it's as bad as Bigfoot coming at you that's going to smash you, that's hairy too, I guess. But I don't know how much hairier it could get right at this moment in time. There's so many things going on. You got Harry Dent, for example. He's telling you all these things that he's been pretty accurate on some of these things. You got Dr. Doom, who's saying the same thing. You've got the guy that wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He's saying the same thing. We can't lock our way from this hairy situation we're in. And it's so hairy, it's going to stagflate on us. You know, stagflation is a hairy situation. And that's worse than being inflated because you can't get rid of it. You can't shave it away. Now, what they are shaving away right now, and it's not beards because, you know, those are coming back right now, I think. What they're not shaving away, or they are shaving away, should I say, is the banks. The banks are going to get shaved. The feds have shaved the bank. If they got real hairy and they're getting hairier every day, they're not letting them have any razors other than the cutthroat kind. In other words, the feds have messed this situation up really bad. We lived in fantasy land since 2008, or even before that, when they started flooding the market with all this supposed unreal money. They diluted us with cash. You know, if you want to call it printing the money, if you want to call it putting it in the system or whatever you want to call it, they did it. And the reason why they did it is because if they hadn't have done it, the tampering that they had already done before that was crashing the system. And there's a lot to be said about letting people, our economies, our countries, pay for their sins. If you've got a bad child and you keep rescuing that child, and that child never learns to stand on his own two legs, it's going to get so hairy in its life later on that when you're not around there to prop it up, it's going to be bad news. That's what's happened to this economy. That's what's happened to this country. You've got all kinds of hairy situations going on, and they're ridiculous. I just heard one the other day where California wants to do reparations for, well, you know, it's racial, of course. We're not racial here, guys. This is wrong to be racial. We're all humans. We should all have the same opportunities. Everyone. It doesn't matter what your color is, where you came from. If you're an American, you're an American and you should be treated as so. But here's the thing. Why pull out one American and say we're going to pay for some sins that other Americans did, you know, 100 and something years ago? They can't even trace these people. They don't even know for sure who needs what. But if they take $5 million from the general population of San Francisco and redistribute it to that method that they're wanting to use, $5 million, I think, each, and it's $95,000 a year for life and some other things. Essentially, that would cost $600,000 per man, woman, and child in San Francisco. Think about it. A baby's born, they owe $600,000 in reparations. How insane is that? Oh, well, we'll just print it. Who's printing it? Just like Congressman Brooks said, if you take $1 billion and you divide 350 million people in the United States in there, or you get up to $1 trillion, now you're way up there, each person. When you have the trillions of debt we got, there's so much debt that each person owes, it's impossible to pay this
dead.
It's impossible. It's just too impossible.
If it is to be paid down, if it is to be adjusted, it would take a while, and it would take stop doing the hairy deeds that they do in the background and just shave it off. Do a regular haircut each year, cut down on this, cut down on that, and eventually you'll have a bunch of hair saved up. And, you know, I mean, I don't know if barbers do that. I think they waste that hair unless they put it in a wig. What do you think, Rusty?
I think you're right, man. Or it make you want to pull your hair out. And then somebody else would come get your hair and you'd have no hair.
I'm telling you, it's a sad thing. I mean, it's natural to go bald. It's called in men, dihydrotestosterone, DHT, which is a rogue testosterone, which makes your hair fall out and all those things as you age. They have blockers. They have DHT blockers. It's like Avodart and some other things that people take. But the thing is there a blocker for the hairy situation that's going on in this economy? Yes, it's called respect. It's called being reliable. It's called being educated. It's called doing the right thing. It's called balancing the budget. That's what it's called. When these banks start going out, we don't know how many of them are going to go out. We don't even know for sure if any more of them are going to go out without the government doesn't come in there. But how much hair are we going to be pulled out of our heads, out of our lives, to save these banks that are in a hairy, scary situation? What is right and what is wrong? Well, I will tell you this. Prospectively, from the past, it's wrong to borrow from Peter to pay Paul and never pay Peter back, okay? In other words, take it from the U.S. citizens, give it to rich Paul, and then he never pays it back. It's a gift. They did it back in 2008. It was they said, well, the banks paid them back. Well, yeah, they did in a roundabout way. I get that. Some of them paid them back. But it really wasn't a payback because of the way it was adjusted. If you go back and look at it, it still was gifts, okay, from the government. But if you were a bank and you were below the top 20 in size, they just let you go. A lot of them. Colonial Bank in Montgomery, Alabama was about number 21, 2, 3 in size, somewhere in there. They let that bank go. They let those people suffer. They let our city of Montgomery, Alabama, an Alabamian city, suffer tremendously because we weren't that important. This is what will happen. You're going to have banks that the government says is too big to fail, and they're going to save them. And it all has to do with political connections. Those folks out in California, that bank was really, really a lot of political figures in there. You got a lot of Silicon Valley. There's a Silicon Valley bank. That bank, it was doing what it does, and that is make those backdoor deals. They were allowed to become extremely dangerous. They were allowed to do the crazy things that they did with their investments. But let's just look at this real quick. Banks were encouraged to invest in what we call government treasuries and securities. And those bonds, they work sort of like bonds. When interest rates go up, a bond, the value of a bond goes down. It doesn't matter what kind of bond it is. That's just the way it happens. If it happens real rapid, okay? So the longer term the bond it is, the more it goes down. The shorter term, the more it can recover a little bit or not hurt you as bad because, you know, you can reinvest it shortly. But these bonds, a lot of them were longer term, like 10 years or more, some whatever. And all of a sudden, there was a run on the bank. People knew that the interest rates were too high and that the banks were suffering. So these rich people started yanking their money out.
You sneaky bastard.
They knew it. They knew what was wrong. That's why they ran on the bank. They're not stupid guys. I mean, they knew it was getting hairy. Not to pull their own hair out, they went in there and pulled the money out. I mean, which one do you want to pull? The money or your hair out?
Ouch.
So that's what they did. They pulled the money out of the banks, but they did it rapidly. Silicon Valley Bank. So what happened then is the bank was started selling these long-term bonds, government bonds, securities that they were told to use. Listen, banks cannot invest in corporate bonds very much, if any at all. Insurance companies invest in corporate bonds. They make more money than the government bonds. It's just simple as that. Banks are regulated different from insurance companies. That's why insurance companies probably not getting in trouble because they weren't forced to do things that were stupid. They were more on their own. They had a little more liberty than banks. So what happened was these banks did what the government told them to do, and then the government pulled their hair out, pulled their money out, pulled their value out, killed them by raising interest rates too fast while they had invested in those low interest bearing bonds. Why did they have to sell them? because they had to pay off those rich people that were coming in there by the droves trying to get their money out before the collapse, before their hair had to get pulled out. Will this continue? I'm afraid it might. I've been doing a lot of research lately. Regional banks are not looking safe right now. Now, if you got $250,000 or less in a bank, you're covered by FDIC. But which one do you think is going to be saved? The big brother or the stepbrother? Which one do you think they're going to save? The big dog or the little dog?
Well, of course, the big one, because they've got either money, lots of crazy, stupid money, or influence. So
that's right.
I truly believe that's why our so-called president is going to bail them out, because there's so many power people in that bank or in that situation there, and they don't want them to not give them money when time comes for them to run for something. So, exactly. Yeah, I just really think it's a bad thing for them to bail them out. I'm glad for those people who aren't going to really lose all their money, but it still is kind of a slap in the face to us who would not be afforded that same courtesy.
That's right. So we have to take a certain responsibility according to what we do as investments. I have to take a certain kind of responsibility, and I take it seriously about being an asset preservationist. This is why when I do my due diligence on an insurance company, we look at everything. We look at the ratios of this, that, and the other, but we also look at what companies that do rating services on them rate them as. And then we look at how long the company's been around and, you know, their assets. Actually, we do look how big they are. The bigger they are, the safer we think they might be. That's not 100%. We saw Executive Life, and we saw, what's that company, the Equitable, back in the 80s, the third largest insurance company in the United States, the Equitable, collapse. But no one lost any money in that company unless you were a stockholder, to my knowledge. And the French bought them out. And the guarantee funds, which we have guaranteed funds in all 50 states, rushed in and saved those insurance companies. So what has happened here is there may have been a few people that have lost some money down through time in an annuity. We can't find where it happened. If it did, it's such a speckled small thing, it's not noticeable when you Google this stuff. But we do know that back in the Great Depression, that supposedly, from what we've read, not one insurance company lost paying a dividend to anyone in the Great Depression. Well, you had like 10,000 plus banks went out in the Great Depression because of the run on the banks. When people don't trust banks, they run on the banks. Banks are made to be more liquid, faster. Like you go down to the corner, they can yank the money out right there. Insurance companies, they're not designed like that. They're designed for pensions and retirement plans and long-term stuff. People don't say, I'm going to go jerk my life insurance out or my retirement out and pay taxes on it or destroy what I've got. That doesn't happen. But when a bank is there on the corner or a savings loan or whatever it may be, the temptation is high and it's easy. You just go in there and say, I need a cashier's check, give me my money or whatever, or you write a check on it. And it's gone. It comes right out of there quick. So that's what was happening with these banks. They're draining too fast. To cover the drain, they had to sell their bonds and their government securities off faster than they should have, and it caused massive losses to cause them to collapse. The government caused this. The feds caused this. They raised the interest rates up too fast. That's why. So they realize that they have got to sacrifice some of us, maybe a lot of us, maybe some of our banks, maybe a lot of the people. They don't care. You remember the conversation we talked about? John Kennedy, Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana, asked Powell, are you going to put a bunch of people out of work? He didn't want to answer the question. Yeah, well, that's it. We're going to have to do it. They have to destroy this economy. They have to tear it down some to rebuild it. That's just like in a war. When you're trying to win a war, they bomb the living days out of it, and then they build it back. They have to destroy it first. That's what we're in right now, guys. They're in a first strike, second strike. They're keeping them from pulling their hair out. They're going to let us pull our hair out. They're going to let us lose our hairy money. You know, we laugh about hair, but there are some charts called the hairy charts. They are predictors. They use some LIBOR stuff. LIBOR is supposed to go completely out, I think, in June of 2020 or something like that. But there's still some charts that you can use called the hairy chart. And I think they named it hairy because when things get hairy, they go look at these charts to see how hairy it's going to get, interest rates and other things. So they've pulled the hairy charts out, I guess, to keep from pulling the hair out. I don't know. But it's getting extremely hairy out there. Now, if you could just be driving down the road and you saw some hairy thing walking down the road and you pick it up and you bring it home, it becomes your best friend, shows you how to invest all your money. I guess that's called Harry and the Hendersons. I don't know. Was that the name of that movie?
With Bigfoot?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
But you can put a Bigfoot on top of this thing by becoming more active yourself. You can take your little foot or your big foot, put it down, say, I'm tired of this hairy situation. I don't want to pull my hair out. I want to invest wisely. I don't want the banks to crash on me. I don't want my retirement to crash on me. And you can do some conservative things. Now, when or who should do this? In my opinion, the people who should really be looking at that are the people who would be damaged the most. And that is the older people, people 50, 55 plus. Why is it going to be so hairy for the older people? Because the life cycle is getting less and less, and therefore we have less and less time, and we really, really need to be able to enjoy our lives.
Something else, the older people, many of them, through no fault of their own, aren't as computer savvy. And it's hard to go anywhere and get anything done anymore because everything's on the computer. And the idea of a brick and mortar building that you could go to talk to somebody, I mean, there's a lot of banks, they're just on the internet. I know me and my wife, me and Donna, we do everything just about on the internet, pay bills, shop, buy groceries. It's just a whole new world as far as finance goes. And a lot of folks are just, especially older folks, you want me to send you some money to your Cash App? No, I will take cash, please, if you will just put money in my hand. Not making fun, but that's just the way it is. So they kind of get left out there too.
Unless you're middle-aged or old or gray-haired or hair coming out or whatever, you probably never heard the term very much stagflation until recently. Us older people will remember stagflation. Now, what does stagflation mean? It means everything is stagnated out with inflation. In other words, the economy is not booming, but we still have inflation. See, that's what's happening. And we have a supply side inflation. The feds cannot control supply side inflation. They can only control to slow down people with increasing the interest rates when there's not a problem with the supply side. Right at this point in time, we have a supply side inflationary pressure, and it's not going to get any better. They did it to us when we had COVID, and they stopped everything, and they put everybody at home and paid them to stay at home. People learn if you feed a dog, you give a dog a bone all the time, that dog learns that that bone's going to come if it begs for it. So people have learned to beg for no work, not for work, for no work. And when you beg for no work, that doesn't work because it's going to cause stagflation. It's going to cause massive hairy situation because nobody's even getting a haircut because they're hanging around the house all the time, I guess.
Right.
Anyway, so here's the thing. We're going to come back here in just a little bit after we take the break. We'll talk a little bit more about insurance companies versus banks and what the difference is on the value of not being in such trouble during stagflation or during inflation or during a bank rush, a bank collapse, that the insurance companies haven't never done anything like that because they're invested differently. It's the way they invest their money. That's totally the difference, okay? And also the regulatory people do a very, very good job in Alabama, very good job, and all over the other 50 states regulating these insurance companies. The banks are trying to regulate in Alabama. They're doing as good a job as they could possibly do. And they say our banks are healthy compared to other states. I believe it. I really do. The problem is there's 50 states. There's a lot of stake at that, you see, and it's going to affect us even in Alabama. So the hairy situation is this. Really, really, you need to sit down and look at yourself in the mirror and say to yourself, how hairy is this? Now, Harry Dent said it's going to get really, really hairy. And we're going to play something with Harry Dent if we haven't already. Essentially, it sounds really bad, really, really bad. But if you don't want to get into a hairy situation, you want to understand how to save your money, save your retirement, give us a call. We know how to do this. We're asset preservationists. We're very careful. We don't take risk at all, in our opinion. I mean, there's always some type of risk, but we try to mitigate the risk more than any organization that we know that does what we do. We take it very, very seriously. What's the numbers, Rusty?
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're into mitigating like David is, you better mitigate your cell phone over there to the phone and call him right now. Now, let me stress, this does not cost you one thin dime. It doesn't cost anything to call David. It doesn't cost anything to get him to help you with your finances. It doesn't cost anything at all to have David make sure your retirement is going to be there and thriving in a good place. when you get ready to retire. So that's three good reasons right there. It does not cost a dime, nothing. 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839. David's got a website at retirewithernest.com. If you're lucky enough to be in the Waffle House and you see him over there nursing some coffee from that executive coffee cup that he owns, well, you go over and just say, hey, David, you got a minute? And if he doesn't, he'll say, hey, why don't you call me at the office? Or he's like me, man, loves to talk, and he loves to talk about what he knows the most about. He's been doing this for over 40 years. That's like you're talking about getting a haircut. You want the guy who just started or the guy that's been cutting hair for a long time, and you don't look like a squirrel that got his head caught under a lawnmower when you leave. I've seen that happen. It ain't a good thing. Call David today, 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839. Retire with Ernest. Not Ernest.
What the?
Ernest. Retire with. At Ernest is another. I think he builds taxis. He's a taxidermist. Anyway, don't call him. Call David today. Remember the website. That's what I was trying to say when I messed up. Retire with Ernest.com. That's it. Retirewithernest.com. And we're going to take a short break. We'll be back. You go get a sandwich, bring in the kids, dog, grandma, everybody, listen to the second half of the Health and Wealth Show.
David Ernest will return after these important messages on the Health and Wealth Radio Network.
This is your roving reporter, and today I'm talking with Darth Vader.
Hey man, how's it going?
Darth Vader, I understand that the Force is so strong with you, it led you to make a very smart decision about your money.
That's right, man. The Force is so strong with me that when I was looking for a money man, it led me to call David Ernest at 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839.
Yes, a very wise money decision.
I think so, man. Yeah.
Well, is there anything else you would ask David Ernest to help you with?
I don't know, man.
Well, how about if he could quiet that annoying sound that your breathing apparatus makes?
Oh, is that bugging you, man? Hang on.
What did you do?
I just turned the sound down, man.
You can do that?
Yeah.
But in the movies,
I don't feel bad. I had this stupid suit on for about 5 years before I figured it out myself.
Right.
Here's Harry's rant with Harry Dent.
We continue in this bounce for now. It is getting right at about 5 months. I really, when I look at all the indices, the NASDAQ, you know, S&P, everything, I would have called the bottom in the early part of October. So now here we are in early March, which really puts us right at 5 months. And that's as long as the 1929 first bounce off the crash lasted. So I haven't seen others last much longer than this. So this is getting long in the tooth, as I've been saying, and we should start to turn down soon. Now, what's the best sign of this? Bitcoin, I always consider to be a short-term leading indicator of stocks as a general rule. Bitcoin, since early February, has been going down more rapidly. It's down 20%. 25,000 to about 20 just here very recently. So that would tell me that stocks are likely to continue down. Stocks are only down 6-7% for the S&P and NASDAQ. So not nearly that much. So I would expect this stock bounce to start to roll over very soon, and certainly within a month at the latest. And then we see a break of that key 10,088.89 area. The actual low was 10,089. So I want to see a break of 10,088, clear, convincing break. And that would say that this third wave, and that's only the middle wave, remember, of this bigger crash is in play. And we're going to be down 55-60% in stocks before that's likely over. And the targets, which I give in the newsletter and we'll keep updating, which should be the COVID lows in late March of 2020. That would make wave three a little stronger than wave one, and again, bring us down 57-58% in the NASDAQ, maybe 60%. So that's when people are gonna know, oh, even with central bank support and all this stuff, we are in a real downturn and a recession is coming. But this bounce is your last chance to sell before we get into this third wave down, and that will be more serious, okay? And that's when it's going to be too late to sell and recoup any of your past games decently. So, again, this is a critical time. The next few months should see this third wave, and it should have already begun now, and it should follow through and make a new low in the next month or so. And that's when we know, okay, we are in the crash of a lifetime.
If you would like to hear more from Harry Dent, just go to your browser and type in Harry's Rant. And thanks for listening to the Health and Wealth Show.
Welcome back to the Health and Wealth Show.
You know, David, I was looking here, and my camera's down. You know, we don't talk about behind the scenes real much a lot. I've got a new computer, and I got to get it swapped over. Maybe my camera will work. We could actually do a TV show with this. But you're traveling right now. You're down at the beach, and there's so much sunlight coming in.
Yeah.
You know what a nimbus is?
Yeah.
You know, it's like that thing behind holy people's heads. You say you got a nimbus around your head. I'm thinking like you're Saint David or something. Of course, I imagine a lot of people sing your praises, though, when you've saved them a whole bunch of money. It's like you're getting your car insurance from that little lizard. You're supposed to save a lot of money. And David will make sure that your money is doing what it's supposed to do and doing the best it can for you.
Well, thank you, Rusty. You know, I sleep good at night. I was reading an article the other day. Somebody was saying stockbrokers, a lot of other people, and I'm not knocking stockbrokers, it was in the article. A lot of them are watching their backs. When you lose money, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to the economy. It's dangerous to your ego. It's dangerous to you psychologically. It's dangerous to your family. It's dangerous to the world. Look at the wars we're having right now.
It's like you got a lovely family. It's a shame if anything happened to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, right. But that's what we have. We've got a bunch of fools in there that don't care about the danger. They're just thinking about themselves. And it's called immediate gratification, greed, all these other things. And I just think it's so wrong for greed to get in front of things. You got Elizabeth Warren out there running around saying, fiduciary, which fiduciary is good? We're fiduciaries. We have to be. But that word is so misused. It is so misused because there's so many people who say they're for you, but they're not really for you. Mm. They're for themselves. It's a balancing act. You've got to be for your family. You got to be for yourself, but you also got to be for your clients. Let's don't fool ourselves. We're for everybody. It's a balancing act. But boy, it becomes unbalanced. And that's what's happened. We have an unbalanced budget. We have stupidity, greed. We have people pulling their hair out left and right now, trying to figure out how to get back to normal. And it's just not going to happen without a crash, in my opinion. I don't know how bad the crash is going to be. I don't even know if they're going to call it a crash. They may call it an adjustment. They may call it a recession. Or it may be a massive crash like some other folks seem to think is coming. Right now, it looks like if they can't plug the holes, it could be massive. We just don't know. And that's the scary part. The uncertainty of whether you're going to lose all your hair or some of your hair. Are you going to lose some of your years or all your years of income, you know, or a lot of them? That's the scary part. But you hear these folks in the background saying, well, don't worry about it. It'll come back. Well, yeah, some of it don't ever come back. It's according to where you got it. As a general term, yeah, it comes back and then it goes away and it comes back. The thing is, this time, it may take a long time. I read just the other day that this could be one of the worst decades in history for growth in the stock market. One of the worst. We don't know. But when you hear that, if it does happen, if it's one of the worst, it means it has to go way, way, way down or stay down for a long time for it to be one of the worst. Because to get back to where it was, it has to grow back to where it was and then start getting back into regular growth again. So if you've got a 5, 10 year, 15 year bad decade, I'm not saying that's going to happen, guys. Don't go say David Ernest said that. David Ernest don't know what's going to happen. Nobody but the good Lord does. But there's these so-called experts that say they know. And when you look at some of their reasoning and their logic, it makes sense. But right now, logically, it makes sense that we're about to have a big downturn. Okay. It makes sense because we're in trouble. I mean, seriously, we're in serious trouble. Look at the banks. They're about to crash. They're going to have to save them again like they did in 2008, potentially. How many more are going to go out? Lord only knows. But there's a lot of folks saying it's going to be some more. And there's a lot of folks saying it's going to be a lot more. And this is going to be bad because the government caused it. They caused it when they increased the interest rates. They got those banks in a bad predicament. It's the feds that did it. They did it to themselves. They did it to us. Now, I promised when we went to break that I would talk about the difference again, a little bit more clarity, why an insurance company on average, I didn't say all the time, but on average is probably safer than a bank on average when you have a national economic calamity. It boils down to one simple thing, where the money's invested. Then the second thing is regulatory. But where the money's invested, and of course, the skills of that insurance company and then regulatory is all mixed in together. Where the money's invested, though, the regulatory people make sure that insurance companies now invest the money much more wisely than they did in the 80s. Because in the 80s, they could invest more into what we called junk corporate bonds. Right at this point in time, they can't unload on junk. They have to have high-end bonds, high-grade bonds. And this has to do with the way the insurance company is graded, like AM Best or Standard & Poor's and all these other rating systems. The bigger the rating, the more conservative that company probably was in the way it's handled itself. Then they have reserves. They look at the reserves. In other words, if there's a run on the insurance company. And then they look at the insurance on the reserves. Yes, they have to have insurance on the reserves. You know, the reinsurance companies. So a lot of people don't realize, and this happens with banks too. Banks, like Biden said this, but it's a big lie. He said, well, people are not going to pay for these banks that went out. I'm going to make the banks pay for it. Well, you know, with their FDIC fees. Guys, think about this. If a bank has to give the government more money to save a bank, don't you think they got to charge you more to keep their stuff going? It's called transference or passing the buck or the cost, transferring the cost to the general population.
Oh, yeah.
So really, there's no free lunch here. And the same thing goes on with any company or any insurance company or anyone. I think you said you had a story you'd like to tell, Rusty.
Well, you're talking about banks failing. And this, to me, and say I wasn't alive, even though people may think I was not alive in 1929. I just got that old wise look about me, but I was not alive in 1929. But you think about it, there's not a whole lot of people around that were alive then and had money in the bank and things going on and that we could talk to. But my grandfather, my mother's father, he was alive then and he experienced losing money in the crash. Well, he passed away the same day Bear Bryant did. That's why I always remember when he passed away. Yeah, and a week or two later, my grandmother was still living and she's in her little old house over there at Boone's Chapel. Over there. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I said, you need to go somewhere, get her hair fixed or go get groceries or something. Call me and we'll figure it out. I'll come get you and take you and we'll take care of things. Well, she called me one day and she had gotten his last Social Security check. He wasn't very old when he passed away. He was only like 69 years old, but she got his last check and she needed to go to the bank. Well, she handed me two or three things. She said, this is so-and-so, this is so, and this is your grandpa's billfold. Hold it for me. Big old billfold. You know how older folks always got that billfold?
Oh, yeah.
It looks like a Bible or something.
Yeah.
And he had a rubber band around it. And so she wanted to go to the bank and put that money in the bank or that check in the bank. Well, I just kind of looked over in the wallet and I saw some bills in there and I opened it up. There was nearly $1,000 in that billfold. He was walking around with $1,000 on him.
That's right.
And my grandparents, they weren't no fancy people. They lived in this little house, it was a Jim Walter house, if you remember the Jim Walter.
I do.
And I asked her, I said, Mama, how come he's got so money in here? So, he didn't trust the bank. He didn't like the bank. He was there when that happened. There's not a whole lot of money in the bank. And I talked her into putting it in the bank. I said, you don't need to have that kind of money just laying around, you know, and people find out about it. So she put it in the bank. But that was the way folks were. My daddy talks about, he was born in 1936. And of course, that was about the time, didn't you say there was a second thing that happened?
Yeah, there's two true recessions, 1933 and 1937. Depression.
And he grew up through that when folks didn't have a whole lot of money and they was out farming and making whiskey and everything to get by with. He talks about that some to me now. And I've been telling him we need to record all this for people to hear later. You know, people don't need to know all this stuff. I said, yes, they do, because if they don't know that kind of thing, it's going to happen again.
Yeah, my grandfather told me some stories, and I wished I did record one of them and put it on a tape, but I don't know what happened to it. But he talked about this one watermelon vine had like 12 to 15, maybe 20 watermelons growing off of it. It was unbelievable. I grew out of a sawdust pile. And I tell you, I'm telling you. But we had this local yokel. He ran a store. I wrote a book about him. He was in my book, Marmaduke.
Oh, yeah.
Marmaduke did not believe in banks either. He wouldn't put money in the banks. So when he died, people were in the woods looking for mason jars, money buried. I mean, they looked for it. I think they might have found some. He did not like banks. His great-grandpappy and his daddy and everybody, they lost all that money in the Great Depression. It did something to people.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we've been desensitized with FDIC. FDIC has done a pretty good job since the 30s. But FDIC couldn't see when they would be pulling it and making it so hairy. In other words, it's getting hairy, guys. And, FDIC is not a family like the Hendersons that's going to be kind to you and comb your hair and let you be nice to yourself and everything. No, the FDIC is a federal organization. They call them the feds. Okay. Uh-huh. They don't really care about you. Just like when Senator John Kennedy, cornered up Powell, the chairman, and said, you're just going to make a lot of people go out of work. Well, he didn't want to say that. He said, I know you don't want to say it. That means they don't care. They're looking at numbers. All they care about is the numbers. They care less about you. Personally, they could care less if you are a statistic and your family goes out.
You know, Ronald Reagan, the Giver. You know, he said something one time, the 9 most terrifying words in the English language. I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
It's terrifying.
It is scary when you hear that because
yes, it is.
The government, I'm sorry, you don't mean to be cynical or anything, but the government is looking out for the government. They really are because it's people and people get there. And what is it? The saying, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it's a fact. I mean,
it is a fact.
It is. I know some people that are hardcore politicians, not just somebody running for county commission or something like that. I'm talking about folks that have turned them to the dark side, really.
And that's right.
I look at these folks on TV, these old things of Joe Biden. There's one real good thing. I think we've run it before. And he's talking about all the stuff he did and all the scholarships he had. And he finished the top third of his class. And they fact checked it. Every bit of it was a lie.
All of it is a lie.
And that's what
if their mouth's moving, it's a lie.
That's about right.
Yeah.
And you just have to, they say, take it with a grain of salt. I'd get a whole one of them round things of Morton salt and carry it in my pocket.
Well, we've learned a lot of stuff. We get Mo Brooks on the radio, and he's an insider that's telling that us outsiders what's
and
going
see,
on.
His trouble is he's too honest.
I begin to realize that more and more after talking to him that he wanted to be an honest senator, and you just can't make it. The big dogs are not going to let you do it. They're not going to give you the money. And we have one person that belongs to the Freedom Caucus in Alabama. His name's Barry Moore. And I was watching a TV show the other day on The V, The Voice of Alabama, whatever it is, on ABC, I think it is. They started talking about Barry Moore was an idiot and he's the crazy one and everybody else. They want the pork. They want the crooked stuff. They want all this stuff to be crooked, okay? And they're liberal. The majority of Alabamians, I thought, were conservative. But yet, the majority of television shows like that are so liberal and rhino-ish. And then they said, well, all politicians are about the same, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, whatever, they all go central. No, what he should have said is they all sell their souls and sell themselves out. They take the money and they become rhinos. The Republicans become rhinos. The Democrats were already liberals, and they're also against the system being fair to the little person, from what I can tell. That's my beliefs, because we came from conservative background. For years, most of our relatives worked like farmers and carpenters and factories and things like that. Some of us are getting into more of what we'd call stuff that we were just servicing companies, like what I do, where we're just a service center. But if we send all the actual stuff out to be made in the communist China, which we're doing a lot of, what's that going to do to us in the long run? It's going to make us pull our hair out when the communist China says, okay, guys, we own you. They own over almost, it's like $800 billion, almost $1 trillion of our debt. I mean, like, they own a lot of us. Of course, that they say, well, you know, the United States make that kind of tempers them to be nice to us. I haven't seen that so much. They're kind of, you know, getting really nice to the Russians, and they want the Russians to win over Ukraine and all that kind of stuff. Now, honestly, I don't think we should have had the war in Ukraine. I think it could have been avoided. But since it's going now, and the powers to be, in other words, the Biden administration has allowed it to be like this, allowed it to happen, there was a lot of bad things that was going on between Hunter Biden, obviously, from what we've heard, and the Ukrainians and the communist Chinese. These things are crooked, man, and they're causing people to die, and they're causing economies to collapse, and they're causing interest rates to be affected. Everything is moving parts together, and when it all comes right down to it, it just makes you want to pull your hair out, because what can you do? What can you do, Rusty, to save your own soul, your own money? I mean, you know, to save your own soul, you got to go to Jesus, okay? But to save your own money and to save your family, what can you do, Rusty? What can you do?
Well, you could do like Marmaduke and go out and bury all your money out in the backyard. I worked at a local auto parts place that's this, now defunct. They sold out. This old gentleman used to come in, and he was an older gentleman, like I said. He'd tell us about being in the service and everything, and he would come in with silver certificate money. You know, like the dollar bills and everything. It's got the red writing. Some of them had blue on them. Mm-hmm. And he would come in with silver money, like silver dollars and everything. And I asked him one day, I'm not going to say his name because it might give something away, but because I don't know if he's still with us or not. But he had his money buried in the backyard.
Yeah.
And he needs some money. He knew where he'd go out and dig it up. Well, enough about that. I'll tell that story again later. But the thing was, that's what he did. His money was safe. But it wasn't going to grow any. He'd have as much money when he dug it all up as he did when he buried it. But what you need to do is get your phone and call David Earnest. If you're in a hole financially and you want to get things straightened out and need some good advice, David is your man. 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839. That'll get you in touch with David Earnest. He will get you in touch with the likeness of being with your money. You'll get all spiritual and you'll be looking at it. You'll hear angels singing. You know that money is in good hands because it's going to grow and be there when you need it. And you're not going to lose your money like you would if it was in the stock market. You won't be jumping out a window or tie a cinder block around your neck and jump off the bridge into water. That'd be bad. You don't want to do all that. Call David Earnest today, 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839. Don't forget about the website at retirewithearnest.com. And I've said it before, he hangs out at the Waffle House. He hangs out down at the down the street and Mr. Gus's and all that kind of stuff. So you might be able to find it. Yeah, we ought to just one day go out and sit out at the mall on those lovely couches they got out there and just put it on the Facebook that we're out there. Come on out. We'll talk to you about your money and see what happens. Think anybody would show up?
Maybe. I mean, you never know, especially if it's something that's good to eat.
We'll take you over to Spencer's, and I think they might still have them black light posters over there. You remember those?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to getting back with Mr. Gus on Tuesday nights. We've been talking, trying to get Barry Moore to show up. That's really the holdup right now. As soon as his organization has time to get back with us, we're going to try to start getting some talk, because he's the only Freedom Caucus person left. We're curious as, you know, do we really only have one honest person left in Alabama that's in politics? You know,
I wonder if a bunch of Undertakers got together, would it be a carcass caucus?
You know, it might be.
And if they came in and told dirty jokes, would it be a raucous carcass caucus?
It probably would be.
I just wonder. I got to get out more. We got to get out. We've run out of time.
You've been playing with your hair. What's left there? Kind of mat that back down, because that's getting real hairy looking up there.
I'm going to get me some shoe polish like Mr. Drysdale put up there where it'll be black looking. I tell you what. I never thought it happened, but I grew right through it. They always say my dad's bald, and they say that comes through your my paternal grandmother, and it's supposed to skip a generation. I guess my follicles did not get the memo, because I'm
and that's
I'm
stuff
real...
that Harry Dent said, don't pull your hair out, because he might be right this time.
We'll check with Harry Dent, and we'll see you next time on the Health and Wealth Show. And you might want to put some of that. What is it, Dapper Dan that you use?
Yeah.
Okay, get you some Dapper Dan and put up there and on your
kind of mat it down.
Don't put no FOP on there. Or the FOP, no. Don't jump. It's just Dapper Dan.
There you go.
Or Dippity Doo.
Well, you know. That goes way back.
Dippity don't.
Concerned about your retirement? Call David Ernest now at 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839.
David Ernest,
member of the American Nudist Association.
Where it's true, Harry the hairy ape made his escape from the city zoo, and under cover of darkness he made his way to the middle of the municipal park, and hid in the bushes and waited for somebody to come walking along by himself in the dark. Then along comes somebody not suspecting nothing, Harry jump out the bushes all of a sudden, beat on his chest, jump up and down, and he say, which is Harry Kaufman. Boo, I bet you I scared you, ha-ha. Wah! Skinny poke cat's as bad as ice, but got his hair turned white. He run off through the municipal park, screaming and hollering, digging up the lawn, tearing up the shrubbery, knocked down to keep off the grass line, run through the hurricane fence, fell in the municipal swimming pool and drowned himself. Well, Harry thought this was the funniest thing that he had ever seen. He like jumped back in the bushes, got ready to do it again. The next guy that come along was the nearsighted local DJ, just bopping down the sidewalk on his way to work with a box of records under his arm that he was gonna play. So here come, not suspecting nothing, Harry jump out the bushes all of a sudden, beat on his chest, jump up and down, and he say, which is Harry Kaufman. Smile, you on candy camera. Man, that DJ was so nearsighted, he thought Harry was a rock and roll singer. So he gave an old glad hand, smile, slapped him on the back, said, don't worry, baby, I'm gonna play the record, cause you too cool, too cool, too cool. Then he slipped by, bopped on off down the sidewalk. It was 4 or 5 steps, he stopped, turned around, do a little boogaloo shingling. Well, this really shook Harry up. I mean, it blew his whole bit, you know, run his whole day. So he run back to his cage fast, he could go, jump up on his little swing, put both hands over his eyes and didn't look for 3 hours and 45 minutes. But that's not the end of the story. Here's what happened. Well, the DJ played Harry's record. Shut up, it was a hit and he became a star. Got him some tight britches, got him a manager, went on a promotion tour, combed his hair back and took up playing the guitar. And every Sunday afternoon you can go and see Harry at the zoo. And the girls are screaming, he'll sit on his swing and pick and sing his hit record for you.
We met a man on the street.
My name's Forrest, Forrest Gump.
And when we asked him about his finances, he had this to say.
I'm not a smart man.
Well, Forrest, you don't need to be a smart man to figure out that if you need help with your finances, you should call David Ernest. Because sometimes financial problems can bite you in the buttocks.
Bit me directly in the buttocks.
See there, Forrest? What do they call it when your finances bite you that way?
The $1 million wound.
And what happens to your money?
The Army must keep that money, because I still ain't seen a nickel of that $1 million.
Well, the Army's part of the government, so don't let the government get your money. Call David Ernest today, 334-279-7431 or 205-479-0839. Forrest called, and just listen to what his friends are saying.
You're a genius!
Don't suffer that $1 million wound. Be like Forrest Gump. Call David Ernest today. Any final words, Forrest?
That's all I have to say about that.
Earnest Financial LLC, serving the community for over 40-something years.
Watch out for this feature presentation coming soon to a cinema near you.
We've all seen 2000 Mules, the film by Dinesh D'Souza that shows how the Democrats stole the 2020 election by manipulating how the votes were cast, thus changing the outcome. 2000 Mules. If you haven't seen it, see it now. And get ready for the sequel by the lesser-known filmmaker You Snooza, You Looza. His film depicts the outcome of the election, where the Democrats took power. You Snooza, You Looza presents 2000 Jackasses, starring Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, AOC, Kamala Harris, and the big guy himself.
Come on, man.
2000 Jackasses. When you come to the theater to see it, watch your step. No, really, watch your step. And remember, our government is being run by 2000 Jackasses. Rated J for Jackass.
The Health and Wealth Show, in cooperation with our home office in Possum Trot, Alabama, proudly presents great quotes from American presidents.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Together, we will make America great again.
The biggest problem we had in the Revolutionary War is we didn't have enough airports.
What?
Now we have over 120 million dead from COVID.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was a foot him.
But even Dr. King's assassination did not have the worldwide impact that George Floyd's death did.
Nothing special about being American. None of you can define for me what an American is.
I may be a white boy, but I'm not stupid.
When I argued that we should freeze federal spending, I meant Social Security as well. I meant Medicare and Medicaid. I meant Veterans Benefits. I meant every single solitary thing in the government. And I not only tried it once, I tried it twice. I tried it a third time, and I tried it a fourth time.
Look, everybody's entitled to be an idiot.
It's going
to
allow pensions and social support to be paid to the Ukrainian people so they have something in their pocket.
I got hairy legs.
I said, we're going to need oil for at least another decade. And beyond that, we're going to need it. She was very specific recently, saying that a mom, a poor mother who lost two kids to fentanyl, that I killed her sons. Well, the interesting thing is that fentanyl they took came during the last administration.
What a stupid son of a...
Okay, hold it. How about quotes from four great American presidents and one dumbass?
Watch out for this feature presentation coming soon to a cinema near you.
One flew in on an alien spaceship.
Look up in the sky.
The other was a stowaway on the Enterprise.
Scotty, beam me up.
Together they formed an alliance that could destroy the universe. Prepare yourself for the invasion of the Vote Snatchers. One man running for office suddenly finds himself being attacked from every direction. Lies, innuendos, his words taken out of context.
I didn't understand a word you said.
It's the invasion of the Vote Snatcher. The voters are in a panic. The president has no clue.
I'm going to beat Joe Biden.
The media will not report on the invasion of the Vote Snatcher. It's incredible. It's indescribable. And next week, it's in this theater. The invasion of the Vote Snatcher.
You fools, you're in danger! Can't you see? They're after you! They're after all of us! Our wives, our children, everyone! They're here already! You're next!
Don't miss our midnight double feature, The Haunted Voting Booth and I Was a Teenage Rhino.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
This is the Health and Wealth Radio Network.